Good morning, and good morning to those that are watching on Facebook as well, or on YouTube, or on whatever social media you may have access to. We are glad to have you with us as well. Today, we will be looking at John chapter 20. I invite you to turn to that now if you would like to. And I want to start off by asking you a question. What have you done with Easter? Last Sunday, we celebrated, maybe got a little emotional, had a potentially life-changing experience as we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, I hope we recognize that the same power that raised him from the dead, that we celebrated, that same power God gives us access to. Through the will of God, we have the ability to do things that we cannot do on our own. And if we acknowledge that, if we know that, it should the resurrection should change our lives, and not just for one Sunday, not just a big celebration. It should change every day of our life. So I ask you, what have you done with Easter? I want to set the stage for today. I said we were going to be looking at John chapter 20. I want to go back to the very end of John 19 and read the last couple of verses there. Before that, I'll have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your resurrection. And God, I'm still excited about that. I'm still excited about the experience we had from last Sunday. But God, help us to not let go of that. But also help us to not just get stuck in the celebration. Help us to be able to recognize the reality, the application, the relevance of what you did, of what we celebrated last Sunday, and how it should impact our lives, how we should be able to grow in that relationship with you. God, we love you, and we thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you that in the midst of the challenges that we have, you show up. And you show up in a way that takes those challenges and makes them into something good. God, we love you. And we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Setting the stage. Chapter 19, beginning with verse 41. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The setting for today's message is a garden. We are not sure what the garden looked like, but I believe it's safe to say it was likely a quiet, peaceful place, which fostered reflection and contemplation. Do you have a place like this? For some people, it can be a hike or a walk in the woods near your home. For some, it's a literal flower garden or your own or a park somewhere you found to be special. I've known some people who have a sunroom that nurtures this type of experience. Many of you already know this place for me is the Piney River Trail. If you have such a place of your own, consider it as we look at the scripture today. If you don't have such a place, perhaps you want to consider what it might be like to make time for such a place yourself. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, what I'm about to say may sound contrary to the statement I made prior to reading the scripture, but the first thing I want to observe is that God meets you where you are. You do not have to be in a physical garden as Mary did. You do not have to find a quiet place. Sometimes life doesn't allow for the time, resources, or freedom to pursue such a physical place. If you are open to God's presence, he can and will meet you anywhere. I believe we can gather from this the first portion of this scripture. Mary did not come to the garden in peace, looking for quiet reflection and meditation on the full scope of her life journey. She instead was looking for Jesus' body. And as she got there, the grief turned into what we might call wailing. The Greek word for crying in this passage is kleion, which carries a sense of an audible, uncontrollable weeping, which would be normal, being that Mary believed someone had stolen Jesus' body. Have you been in a place of intense pain or grief? Perhaps you're not so far removed from such a place right now. God is with you, just as Jesus was there with Mary. We mistakenly think at times that we have to have everything together. We have to have it together in the right place with the right words and sacred reverence to experience God. Not only here, throughout the Bible, it shows us over and over that this is not the case. God is with you in your brokenness. Hear this again. God is with you in your brokenness. Our risen Lord and Savior meets us in our confusion, longing, and grief, just as he did with Mary. The problem is that sometimes we're so focused on our struggles, on our problems, on our hopelessness, that we don't recognize Jesus standing right beside of us. Mary thought he was the gardener, but through our faith, we can and will hear the voice of our Lord and Savior calling to us. Hear this again. In the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the challenges we have, we can just allow ourselves to be so taken over by that, that we aren't able to recognize where God is in the midst of that. But our faith is small as a mustard seed. You don't have to be some type of huge spiritual warrior. As long as you have faith, as long as you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there is faith that enables you to recognize God's presence. And in the midst of that, you can hear God. And we hear God in different ways. Occasionally, we might hear an audible voice, but I think that's more the exception than the rule. It may be through nature and that whole idea of a garden that whole idea of a place. And I know I said at times that life doesn't allow you to go to those places and have that and set that time aside. But if we can make that time, if we make God a priority, if we can find in our schedules a way to do that, not just to get away so we have a relaxing time, but to really seek out God, it becomes very rewarding. So we can experience God through nature. We can have unexplainable feelings of peace that I have had several of you who are right here right now share with me that God has done that in your life. We can experience God's voice through other people and through situations. But more than hearing God, we also experience the closeness of His presence, of His care, and of His understanding. And if you've had this before, you know it's perhaps the greatest feeling on earth. To know God's presence in that way, to know that He's with you, to feel that. And in the midst of those problems, the problems don't necessarily go away, but it puts them in a totally different context. And people, if you don't know that and you've never experienced that, you can. And God desires you to. And that's what we're talking about today. I want to ask you another question. When someone's talking to you, does it make a difference if they call you by name? If you're having a conversation with somebody, you just meet somebody and they start talking to you, and you may know that you know each other, recognize each other, but if they look at you and they say, "Carrie, what was your week like today?" And if there's something that comes just by saying the name instead of, "Well, how was your week this week?" But when you say Carrie, when you say that name, there is something that comes with that. There was a TV show back in the day that said you could go to a place where everybody knew your name. And if you saw that, you've got a smile on your face right now. But that's what it's like if you experience God. God not only knows your name, He knows everything about you. And when we know that, it makes a difference. Having this type of experience in the midst of the struggles enables us to move forward, to move beyond our circumstances. Jesus told Mary in verse 17, go and look at it. Verse 17, it says again, Jesus said, "Do not hold to me." He is saying, stop holding on to the past, Mary. Instead, He's yearning for things that are different. Mary is yearning for things to be the way they used to be. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said you just wish things could be the way they used to be? If you could just go back? I don't believe God ever wants us to do that. For one, I don't think it's possible. But He said, instead of yearning for the things the way they used to be, He's telling Mary this is not to be harsh or insensitive, but because He wants her to experience something so much better. Something that is yet to come. There are times when God calls us to stop trying to force God into our own understanding of how He should work. We like to tell God, "God, this is just how it needs to work. This is how to fix it." We want to tell God what it should be like. As the saying goes, we need to let go and let God. We began the new year acknowledging that God is doing a new thing. No matter where you are in your life at this moment, God desires to be at work in your imperfect life, to accomplish His will and give your life purpose beyond your own. This is a true story. There's a young couple I knew that had been struggling in their relationship for several days. They finally made time to sit down and talk. Things began to improve just in the conversation. But as the conversation turned to them talking about their future, the man said, "I plan to be a millionaire." A lot of women might like this idea. But this woman was obviously put off, worried their life would revolve around money. Then the man explained, "I don't want money. I want land and resources so we can invite young people to experience God through nature, meaningful work, and the joys of life." Young people who don't have this type of opportunity. Without a word, the woman leaned over and gave him a huge hug. They made time to talk with each other, and it changed everything. We need to make time to talk with God about our struggles and then to listen, staying open to a purpose greater than the world's idea of success. Whether or not this couple becomes millionaires, a life centered on God will lead to blessing beyond what they can imagine. Back to Mary for our closing. Mary Magdalene moved from one of the most difficult experiences of her life to being the first person to share the gospel. You hear this? She was the first evangelist. She went and said, "I have seen the Lord," to the disciples. If we have had a genuine encounter with the resurrected Christ, we cannot stay silent. We can't help but to share who He is and what He's doing in our lives. So, what are you doing with Easter? Where do I feel like the tomb is empty and I'm alone? And how might Jesus be standing near? Is there a challenge in my life stopping me from recognizing Jesus in my life right now? What is the new thing God is trying to do that I am resisting by holding on to the past? How can I better witness to the resurrection of Jesus in my life today? We'll ask our praise team to come. As they come, the altar's open, our church doors are open. Any decision that God may be impressing upon you through the Holy Spirit, please do not squelch the Holy Spirit. He desires to bless you. He has a meaning and a purpose. And if it's moving right now, God desires you to respond right now. And when we do that, just like we talked about, God honors when we give and seek to take care of the poor in His name. When we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, I promise you it's an immediate blessing. And no, there's nothing magical. You can speak to God somewhere else just as easily as you can right here. And that's an exciting thing. But if God is moving right now and asking you to do that, why wait? Why say, "No, God, not right now, God. I know you're doing it, but not right now. I can't do it. I'm too embarrassed. Somebody might think something about me. It's just not convenient. I don't feel good." When God is moving in you, don't wait, because He has a blessing He wants to give you now. As you go in life, you have your garden of your own, and sometimes it may be an intentional place that you go to. Other times it may be a place that you just find yourself grieving, as Mary was, in the garden. But know, God is always with you. And when I'm talking about responding, I'm not talking about just right now. I'm talking responding Tuesday at 4 o'clock when God impresses some on you. I'm talking responding at 3 in the morning when God impresses something on you and you get up and you pray and you seek Scripture. When God speaks and we move, He honors it. Let's stand together and sing.